We are stoned, and that's okay. So why don't you just stay? Sit back and listen. You don't know what you're missing. It's Talking Stoned While Getting Sports.
Welcome, fellow humans. You are listening to Talking Stoned While Getting Stuff or Sports, whatever you want to call it. Episode 192. My name is Morgan. The guy on the other line, his name's Austin. How the fuck is it going, buddy?
That was a roller coaster.
Isn't it always?
Yeah. Yeah. No, that makes sense. No, it's going good. I'm now off for 3 days, so that's cool. Going to the in-laws, gonna eat food, have some early Easter time.
Doing any egg hunting?
I don't know.
Or egg painting or any of that sort?
Honestly, no idea. No.
Lame.
Going in blind.
Well, if you open up your eyes, it might be a little better.
So yeah, no, it's been it's been an okay week. Excited to talk some good hockey stuff. Getting close to the playoffs, but yeah, how about yourself?
Well, I don't know. No, I don't believe we've recorded episodes since something very drastic has changed in my family, and that is my 104-year-old great-grandma, I think Austin already knows this, has unfortunately passed away recently, just a few days ago. She wasn't in good health all of a sudden, so she doesn't have to suffer. And so that's the good side of things. I mean, obviously, it still sucks that she's gone. I played a lot of cards and ate a lot of cookies with her over the years.
That sounds like my relationship with my grandma, to be fair.
She's the entire reason why I love board games. You guys hear me talking about me playing games like Gloomhaven and all the very nerdy games. It's because of my great old great-grandma. But I was lucky enough, as weird as that sounds here to say, that I got to see her literally 2 hours prior to her passing, which not everyone can say they're always that lucky. She was also surrounded by other people that were, you know, other loved ones at the time of passing as well. So I just had to say that, get that out there and over with. But on brighter sides, last night, as of recording, I went over to an old boss's house and played some poker. But prior to that, we ate some. He cooked us a delicious steak. It was so good. Baked potato. He did attempt to make us some cheesy garlic bread, although apparently 40 minutes to an hour forgot in the oven is not ideal cook time for that unfrozen bread.
Ooh.
It was a little crisp.
Oh dear. Oh boy.
But the rest of the food was delicious. I mean, no one even bothered trying the bread because it was way past overdone. And we played some poker. I didn't win. And then at the end of the night, I found out that since the two youngins that were there, you know, early 20s, which make me feel very young, didn't bring any money. So I didn't have to pay the $20 I thought I had to pay when I lost, which I'll take that. If I could just have a free game of poker, sign me up, my guy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Other than that, tomorrow I got dodgeball playoffs going on. Even though we suck, it's the beauty of Rec League. We still get playoffs. I mean, we're still going to lose in two games straight, so it's fine. But we're going to have fun doing it. That's the goal, right? Right?
Sure.
That's what people keep trying to tell me. And I keep trying to tell myself, and I don't know if it's true or not. But Austin did hint at some stuff he mostly wanted to talk about. I mean, I enjoy talking about myself as well, but don't get me wrong. I'm sure Austin has a big old smile over there in the BC land, because this episode is going to be very hockey heavy. But before we get to that, why don't you do some plugs, Austin?
Yeah. Well, first things first, you got to download the show, rate the show, tell people about the show, Talking Stone while getting stuff. Not stuff. We're not getting stuff here. That's a different show.
yeah, it's a totally different show.
We are working on, because obviously we do put up some content on TikTok, but we are working on actively getting, we were talking about clips with our audio, because we don't do a video podcast, but...
Even though we've teased at that before.
We have teased that before, and then it turned out that was a lot more difficult than we had intended.
But if, hey, if we ever find a way to figure that stuff out for a couple dummies like ourselves, we will do so.
We'll try. But, yeah, so we're going to try to put some more stuff up there to let people know about the show. But, yeah, tell your friends. Tell all your peeps. And even if they don't listen, if they could just download it, that helps a bunch. So, yeah. And then Morgan's probably going to talk to you about something dumb.
A little bit. But I will say a little bit more than what I normally say. Like, my caption, Morgan, too. Basically, anything with social media. I will say that the word of mouth lately, I have been noticing, has actually been working. Someone's been talking out there, because, for example, the poker group that I was in, there's a couple people that already knew about my podcast, our podcast. Sorry.
I didn't say anything.
I heard it. I heard the thoughts. That's why we work so well together. I can hear your thoughts a couple provinces away.
No, you can't, and thank God.
Oh, that's what you think. I heard that. But what I'm trying to say, without Austin being rude, is that word of mouth helps more than people think it does.
It really does.
Because mostly... Yeah, I'm not going to say what I was actually going to say.
Yeah, but, right.
Hockey. That is the end of the plugs. Keep on talking about our podcast. That's all I got to say.
Yeah.
Go on, sir. You're up.
Wait. What was I saying?
Hockey stuff.
Oh, right. Yes.
This was going flawlessly until we try to get serious.
Yeah. No, flawlessly. Flawlessly. All right. So, recently we've been seeing, not recently, it's been happening a little while, but I think more so now, former players are really getting into the foray of management and coaching and whatnot.
I love this.
Apparently, there's some speculation of Jaromir Jagr looking at a front office role with Pittsburgh, which it wouldn't shock me. Obviously, he was an incredible player for the Penguins. He didn't leave on the best of terms, but they've more than made up. They did the bobblehead night, and then the bobbleheads got...
Well, just with how the ceremony went, you can clearly tell that they made up on... They're not on bad terms anymore.
Oh, no. Not at all. But the list of former players in management or coaching positions is growing. In Ottawa, more recently, we got Daniel Alfredson as an assistant coach. Edmonton, we have one of the best offensive defensemen in history, Paul Coffey, is an associate coach for the Oilers. There is potential talk, and this could be interesting, of Rick Nash becoming the GM of the Blue Jackets.
That could be interesting.
But hold on, there's more.
Ooh, I'm holding.
Obviously, in Montreal, we have Martin St-Louis, who's actually been decent as the coach there. It's been as much as the team is not great. Obviously, Vancouver got Rick Tocchet, who has been absolutely fantastic in Vancouver. Detroit, their GM is Steve Yzerman. Patrick Waugh with the Islanders. There's a lot of former players in this role. And it's interesting because it doesn't always go well, right? I think it used to be where people would think if you were good at hockey, you'd be a good coach. And that's just not true. You can be good at hockey and be a good coach, but it's not an automatic fit. And like, obviously the most obvious famous example, would be Gretzky, right? He was the
and Patrick Waugh once.
Well, but okay, but there's.
But Gretzky would be the big one, yes.
Well, and that's the thing, because with Gretzky, who do you argue is better? More points, more goals, more anything, like, you know? Whereas Patrick Waugh, he was incredible, probably one of the best goalies in the playoffs ever, but overall, you could put, you know, Hasek.
Unless you're looking for a goalie coach, though.
Well, but even then, like, because a lot of these guys, sometimes it's like, just because you were a good goalie doesn't mean you could coach goalies. You know what I mean? Like Gretzky is a coach with the Coyotes. His overall coaching record, I didn't realize he coached this long. 143 wins, 161 losses, and then 24 overtime losses. To be fair, it wasn't a great team that he was going to.
No.
But
honestly, if you're a proper good coach, you should be at least be able to make any team at least competitive in my mind.
Well, yes and no. At a certain point, it's like if you don't have the roster, you don't have the roster, right? But it is.
I don't know. They're getting paid to play in the NHL for a reason. They can't be all that bad.
I mean, but yes, they can. Look at San Jose.
Well, they're suffering lots from injury. That's
yeah, but they're getting paid to play in the NHL. That's what you just said.
Well, now by default.
Hey, they're in the NHL. But I think we're losing track here. There's more guys, right? You got Joe Sakic in Colorado, Rob Blake in Los Angeles, Brandon Shanahan is the president of the Leafs. Sheldon Keefe also played in the NHL, and he's a GM coach. It's nice to see. It's nice to see, and it's more common that it actually turns out well, right?
I just mostly like it because the simple fact is not seeing the same old folks, if you will, being cycled throughout teams.
Yes, this is true. This is very true.
Because I know both you and I have been wanting new blood anywhere in the NHL side, like coaching side of things or GM side of things, for quite some time. So yes, some of them are going to fail and fail hard, but we don't know that until teams decide to give them chances. And I am going to somewhat tie this into CFL because we're also seeing that on the CFL side of things a lot. Like, for example, with the Riders, you know, well, Corey Mace, he was a defensive coach over in Toronto, and now he's a head coach. You got Jeremy O'Day as the GM for the Riders. You got Larry Dean, who recently retired, who's going up to upper management. In this article, it also didn't mention Calgary Flames, who have Craig Conroy as the GM and Jerome McGinley as a advisor or whatever many titles that they try and come up with that you want to call them.
Right.
But, it's – even if it wasn't players, I think I would have the same reaction just based on just new faces being out there, and I'm rooting for all of them, really.
Yeah.
I'm out of thoughts.
Well, that happened. That's okay.
Forever. No more thoughts.
That's all right. We had a good run. But, I don't know. I and it's cool, too, for us, right? We're at the age where we're seeing the guys that we watched play become executives and management. And it's interesting.
That's what we want to call it. It's interesting with quotation marks. Or is it old? However you want.
Let's not talk about it. I will say, actually, I have a thought here, and I want your opinion on it.
Ooh, I said I don't have any more thoughts, though.
I said I want an opinion, not a thought.
I like it.
So, one of the guys we mentioned in that list, right, of former players, Steve Yzerman. Now, he did a good job in Tampa Bay. Unfortunately, he left before they won a cup, but he really helped build that team into what they were and are. He's been bad in Detroit. And the plan was, when he comes in, of course, they're not going to be good right away, but he's been there since 2015 now. So 9 years. And what do they have to show for it?
I get what you're saying. As a GM, though, I don't necessarily put all on him. Like, he has been stuck with having to try and, build a team, which is never easy.
That's the job, though. That's
He has been there for a while. He is one of those older faces that
hasn't really won anything. And I wonder. So I heard this on another podcast, and it was interesting to me. Do you think, if it wasn't somebody like Yzerman who had that name recognition, do you think that they would still be the GM?
Well, no. Honestly, I definitely think it's extended his GM career.
Yeah.
It could be very interesting to see what happens in this offseason.
I will say, too, and it's I get it. He didn't go into a great situation, but he also knew that going in. And that was the job that he was taking on, was to improve the Red Wings. And do they have some good pieces? Absolutely. Mo Sider, fantastic. Lucas Raymond, excellent.
Now, if they make the playoffs and have a little bit of playoff success this year, does that change?
Oh, I'm sure it does. But when's the last time they were in the playoffs?
It's been a while, but they have a legitimate shot, which we will look at later. But I also now just popped into my head.
2016, just so you know, 2016 was the last time Detroit was in the playoffs.
Well, it has been a while.
Right around when Yzerman took over. Anyway.
You're not wrong. But oh, shoot. I lost my train of thought.
All right. That's all good. I don't want, like, I'm not shitting on Yzerman. He was an absolutely incredible player, one of the best, arguably the best player to stick with one team in his entire career.
I do remember what my question was going to be. What type of success do you think we would have to see from Detroit, like this year type deal, in order, like, because it sounded like you also don't think he's going to keep his job in off season if it's definitely. Well,
it depends on a couple things. One, I don't know what his contract's at, so like I don't know how much time he has left on it. That definitely.
If he has like one more year or something, I also don't know, and I don't feel like looking it up right now.
I think the goal at this point, like if they make the playoffs, he gets some breathing room. If they get bounced in four, they probably has a little less wiggle room. It's like, yeah, you made the playoffs, but I don't know. It's like, do you look at this Detroit team and think that they're built for the playoffs?
No, I think they're out first round if they make it.
Right. So
maybe surprise the team with their young spunk. That was a weird.
That was not the right word to use.
They're young.
Their
young energy.
There we go.
Might get them through the first round.
Yeah, the playoffs maybe.
But second round best. But honestly, I think they'd be out first round. Because, we'll look at it later. But they're not going to be playing against easy opponent. That's for sure.
Oh, God, no. The top end of the East is scary. Top end of the West is scary, too.
Yeah,
top
it's going to be
scary, I guess.
It's going to be fun. I'm excited.
I'm so excited for the playoffs. But before we get there, before we get to the recap, we have some interesting changes coming up to the junior ranks, potentially.
Yeah, which could affect the major ranks. I came across this morning, to be honest, and I thought this was a little interesting. I kind of skimmed through the part of the article, and I was like, let's do it, Austin. I believe in us. Don't let me down.
Yeah, so basically there's a restriction about CHL players playing in the NCAA, which is the college hockey. For whatever reason, the CHL is like, oh, we have to protect our brand or whatever. I don't know. But
yeah, they're weird over there.
Not fair to the players. Because so as far as I'm aware at this point, right? So let's say you get drafted out of the CHL.
Mm-hmm.
But then, oh no, you don't make the team. Well, then you have to, but then if they send you back down to the CHL, then you have to stay there. I'm talking about something this is now different. I don't know what I'm talking about, but
no, I think you're on the right page.
Whereas like NCAA is different than that, I think. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm trying to find it. I literally just read it this morning. So basically what it is with the CHL, here it is. The CHL NHL teams hold your rights for 2 years if you get drafted. But out of the NCAA or the USHL, the team could hold your rights for 4 years. So it's double the amount of time the NHL team can hold your rights for. So the benefit of being the NCAA would be huge, but unfortunately, as it sits right now, the CHL they're not allowed that crossover. But the rumor has it that's hopefully getting changed, which I believe is all for the best. So I don't know if that helps break it down at all or not, but
I don't know. But I don't know, it could be interesting with those changes. But let's see here. Yeah. The team that I'm about to talk to or talk about, sorry, not talk to, frustrates me. The Arizona Coyotes, formerly the Phoenix Coyotes, formerly the Winnipeg Jets.
they've been so many things.
They, to me, the Arizona Coyotes are Gary Bettman's legacy.
Oh, so dumb. I hate it so much.
Because he is the only reason that team is still there. If I guarantee this, if any of the Canadian teams were playing in a goddamn university stadium or arena, they wouldn't be, because they'd be in the States. They'd be in Houston or they'd be somewhere else.
Yeah.
But it's Arizona, and Bettman needs it to work so badly, because if it fails, then he was wrong, and he can't be wrong. He's an old, out-of-touch fucking loser, and this is his fucking
get riled up, my guy. I like it.
I hate it. I feel bad, because, you know, Arizona, I feel bad for their 14 fans that they have at this point, because they are some of the most loyal fans in sports. Dude, mm-hmm. Imagine trying to be a fan of this team.
It must be rough.
Every year, it's they don't know where they're going to play. They don't have an arena. Their team sucks. They're actively trying to be bad. Like, I don't get it. I don't understand the purpose of the Arizona Coyotes other than to take on other teams' bad contracts for picks. Like, it's just not. So, at this point, the Coyotes, this is kind of a last-ditch effort here. There's a land auction in June in Arizona, and this land could be potentially used for an arena for the
haven't we heard this before though?
Coyotes. We sure have, buddy. And guess what the answer is every single goddamn time? No. Nobody wants the team, because they've proven they don't pay their bills, they don't pay their taxes, they don't pay shit on time, nobody wants to fucking deal with these teams. It's true, the franchise is a joke.
I completely agree.
Like, you can tell me, you can stop me as soon as I'm lying, but, like, I want a solid place for them. Whether, if it is in Arizona, then that's fine, okay? That's okay. If they have an actual arena there, then great.
Yeah, if it actually works.
But if they don't get this auction, but here's the, okay, so here's the thing, too. Here's the big problem. Okay. They win the auction. They get the land. Great. Now they have to build an arena.
Yeah, and that's not a quick task.
You don't build that overnight. You know, that's going to take
a few years. Not if you want a proper arena, that's for sure.
Well, and that's the thing. If we were in another country, maybe with lesser standards, but it's going to take a few years for that to build. So are they going to continue to play to the out of the university for 4 years, 5 years?
No, what they'll do is they'll quickly put together an outdoor rink. Yeah, and then during
in Arizona
play time. Yeah, just hear me out. During play time and everything, technology, they'll have a bunch of fans to keep it cold everywhere.
They don't have enough fans, dude. We just talked about that. They don't have enough fans.
No, like, powered by electricity. They'll have more fans operating to keep that area cold than they actually have watching. Absolutely. And then they just, you know, build the stadium around the outdoor rink while they're playing stuff. It gives them more time. It's perfect. It's flawless planning, my guy.
So I hope they move. This article talks about them potentially, if this auction doesn't go through, the two big cities that are kind of getting the attention are Salt Lake City and Houston. Both of which I think could definitely support a team. Houston does seem to be more likely to me. But I don't know.
If you're to throw out any other places that could support a team, what would you?
Quebec.
Yep.
Quebec. Honestly, and it won't happen, and I don't know how they got this deal. So apparently there's a deal in place where the Leafs organization can basically veto teams within the area of them.
How do they got get this deal, power?
Considering the fact that New York has multiple teams, but I really like Toronto could support two NHL teams.
They could.
I truly believe that they have the population. There's enough people that are maybe sick of the Leaf shit that might want to look at a different team within the city. I could see them succeeding.
I could also see a team over. This might sound crazy, over in the Maritimes, like Halifax.
I've heard, Halifax is also on there. I don't know if that works as well. I don't know the population numbers, but
I know there's still someone in bidding for a CFL team. I don't see that happening, though.
Yeah, that's fair. I don't know. It's interesting. It's everything. Here's the question for you. I wonder if in the 4 years or almost 4 years we've been doing this podcast.
Gross.
Is there ever been a positive Arizona Coyotes news story?
Yeah, they got Logan Cooley once.
Uh-huh.
And he did that one cool move in.
Yeah.
Not even close to where any NHL is held.
Yeah.
Where is that? Finland?
Uh-huh.
During a broadcast, there was, since the positioning of where the broadcast people sit is so well thought out, right in the middle of fans, someone did a peace sign. I remember seeing that once.
So I think we should move on to the recap so far of the season. It's been an interesting season, I will say.
It's been a wild ride, dude.
It's been a wild ride. Connor McDavid, hey?
He's been a player he plays hockey.
He sure does. In fact, he plays it very well. In fact, he has, in 66 games played so far this season, he has 89 assists. And I believe he's on pace for like 109, 108.
Last I saw was 108.
108 assist pace, which is insane. But he's not the points leader. We got a three-way race for the Art Ross this year.
Before we move on to the points leader, can we stay on his whole assist thing for a sec?
Okay.
I just want to add something to it. Not only, he would become the fourth player, I believe, to get past the 100 assist mark. One of them being Wayne Gretzky, The crazy thing is Wayne Gretzky's done it 11 times.
11 times. Yeah, I saw that stat. That's a McDavid. That's a Gretzky stat disguised as a McDavid stat.
Yeah, I think the other players have been Lemieux and who is the third? I can't remember. I don't know if you do or not, but
no.
Anyways, I just had to throw out that Gretzky thing there.
Fair enough. Yeah, no, it's bananas. But yeah, we got a three-way race this year, boys and girls.
I do like myself a good three-way. I mean, what? Fuck.
We got Nikita Kucherov, Nathan MacKinnon, and Connor McDavid. Connor McDavid in third place, 115. He's not that far back with MacKinnon, who's got 119. But Kucherov stands alone at the top. He's got 123 points. Now, no, he doesn't have 89 assists, but he does have 41 goals in 69 games. Nice.
Nice.
Not bad. Not bad.
Remember back at the start of the season when people were being like, is McDavid, is something wrong with McDavid? And he's like, hold my beer and watch this.
Literally. Same with Draisaitl. He's tied for eighth with 91 points. With Matthews, actually. Awesome Matthews. I will say I do like the fact that the Canucks have a trio at 10, 11, and 12 in scoring. Miller, Pettersson, and Hughes. Do like that.
I thought you wouldn't be a fan of it. Fooled me.
You're dumb.
I am. Thanks, bud.
So, so mean. But true. So...
Austin Matthews, he sure knows how to put the puck in the net.
Well, and here's a little fun stat for you about Austin Matthews.
I think I know what you're going to say.
I bet you do, but he scored his 58th goal last night, and it was the first empty net goal he scored this season.
Yep. Remember, folks, how last episode we were talking about how Coleman scored basically, well, not half, but 7 out of his 28 whopping 28 goals for empty nets.
Yeah, Matthews' 58th goal of the season. Now, jeez. This one, so yesterday the Leafs played the Oilers. And Zach Hyman is a former Leaf.
Mm-hmm.
And he has been on a tear this season. In fact, going into the game, he had 48 goals on the season. And basically everyone on hockey Twitter was like, oh, he's going to hit 50 against Toronto.
Yeah.
And now I will say, I don't know if you paid attention to that game at all.
No.
Toronto was slapping Edmonton around 5-0. But Hyman did score one, but he hit 49. So Hyman's probably going to hit 50 this year for the first time.
Do you think he's going to hit 60?
Absolutely not.
No.
Hyman will not score 11 goals in the last 12, 13. It's not going to happen.
I guess we are getting that close, aren't we? Fuck.
Yeah, but like him and Reinhardt are probably going to hit 50. Reinhardt has 48 goals. Rantanen's probably going to hit 40. Nylander, they're both at 39. I'm really hoping Brock Besser hits 40 this year. He's at 36, and he's just – he's one of those guys I feel like should have 30 to 40 every year, but he's had some rough years. But how about this? The ageless wonder, Sidney Crosby, 36 years old. He's got 33 goals on the season.
Yeah, he talk about consistency.
Yeah, he's point per game this year, 69 points in 69 games on a terrible Pittsburgh team. Pittsburgh's been absolutely tragic.
They haven't been great, nope.
No, they have not. But boy, Ovechkin's scoring again, hey?
Oh yeah, I forgot that we wanted to talk about him.
Ovechkin needs less than 50 goals. I can't believe it. I think it's like 49 now at this point.
Yeah, it was 50 a little bit ago, but then since I saw 50, I think he scored.
Let's see here. He needs 49 goals to pass Wayne Gretzky. I follow, there's an Ovechkin goal tracker on Twitter. and he just updates every goal. So, 49 goals left. Obviously, he doesn't do it this year. He's probably not going to do it next year, but the year after that, as long as he keeps playing.
And I think he will.
Right? 20, 30 goals a year. He can do it in a few seasons. At this point, I think under 50 goals, you got to go for it. No matter what. You got to go for it.
Well, you also messaged me that one stat of recently he got a power play goal against his 175th different goaltender.
It was a power play goal, but yeah, it was just his first goal against Pyotr Kochetkov. The only two players who have scored on more goalies than Ovechkin are Jaromir Jagr, 178, and Patrick Marleau, 177.
See, I like those stats you don't really think of all the time.
Right? But those are the stats that show, like, you have longevity and you can score goals.
Yeah. It's not a matter of, at this point in my mind, of if he will break the record, it's when.
Well, and I will say the Capitals are playing right now, and they're playing the Jets. It's 0-0, but hey, more chances for Ovechkin to score. I want him to hit it so badly. And not just because it's Ovechkin, more just because I want one of the top Gretzky records to be broken.
Yeah, because we saw that player come in, which makes me feel really old.
Oh, yeah, buddy.
Like, I remember one of his first goals, which was on his back. and then we're going to end up being able to see his last goal, which is...
Yeah.
And most likely the record-breaking goal. Oh, my God. That's... Dude, if he breaks the record with, like, another crazy on-his-back goal or something, I don't think he's capable of doing that type of stuff.
He definitely won't. No, you know how he's going to do it? He's going to be in his spot. It's going to be a power play. And he's going to one-time that puck through the goddamn net. And it's going to be perfect.
I just hope it's not like, he's skating through the zone or something and it deflects off of his shin guard.
Realistically, a goal is a goal.
Yeah, and he scored enough. I'm sure he's had a few like that.
Well, and then, guaranteed. Any goal scorer will, right?
Yeah.
Zach Hyman almost has 50. They're not pretty goals. They're all from, like, within 3 feet of the net, but they count. So... It's obviously I prefer a nicer goal for it, but I think it's going to be interesting because a couple of years from now, Caps probably aren't going to be much better, but they might be. But any games around the time where he's going to break the record, the numbers, like on watching, I think are going to be insane.
Oh, yeah, that stadium will be packed.
Well, not only that, but just like the streaming, the TV numbers.
Like, oh, yeah, if it's a away game and on top of, oh, my Lord.
Well, and just because it won't just be Caps fans, right? It'll be hockey
fans.
Because that will be, we will be witnessing history. And I think that's a really, really cool thing. I think we've talked about this a little bit before on the podcast, but if you break down, like, because they have a system to do, like, era adjustments, because on average, when Gretzky played, a lot more goals were scored. So the value of his points aren't necessarily as high as example, for somebody scoring in, like, the early 2000s, when scoring was quite low.
Yep.
Right? So... Era-adjusted, Ovechkin is already the best goal scorer, as far as I'm aware.
Oh, I totally agree. He
and that's the thing, right? Because he came into the league when nobody was scoring goals. And there's been low times in his career too. Like a few years back, I can't remember if it was 2014 or 15, but Jamie Benn won the Art Ross Trophy for most points with like 87 points. Like it was a very,
yeah.
He has not always been in the high scoring era, and scoring has gone up recently.
That's funny you say that stat, like 87 points that won the whatever. McDavid has 89 assists.
Yeah, through less than 70 games.
So, like, that tells you how different it is.
Right? It's a different game. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but I'm just saying, like, the...
Ovechkin would...
Well,
I was just going to say, he would also already have the record, in my opinion, if there weren't... It's been what, two lockout seasons or part seasons?
And COVID.
And COVID, like,
oh, if we had played all that, he would already do it. He would already, because part of the partial lockout was like in his prime or part of it. Like,
yep.
It. Oh yeah, no, we would have been there already.
He would just be playing probably till the end of next year when his contract's done. He would retire.
Yeah. Exactly. But as far as I'm concerned, he's the best goal scorer. Because you look at Ovechkin play and you watch Gretzky play. And again, no offense, not taking anything away from Gretzky. But some of his goals, dude, like, there's no chance they go in today.
No. Because goalies know how to go down to the ice.
Well, and that's the thing, right? And again, like, love Gretzky. Love the guy. But
you can't hate him for that, though, either, because that's how the game was played.
Absolutely. And I'm not taking anything away from him. I'm just saying, like, Ovechkin as a pure goal scorer is better.
Like, you think Gretzky could do the... I mean, Ovechkin probably can't. Well, he might be able to. But you think Ovechkin... I mean, Gretzky could do the Michigan right now?
Zero chance.
Or even in his prime?
No. Now, to that was in his skill base, but it's different.
He had hockey
sense.
Different.
He had an incredible hockey sense, and that's something that would still be very important today, right? Like that is, would he be the best player of all time? I don't think so.
Nope.
But
I bet he'll get a lot of assists.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. But and I think we got a little bit sidetracked there, but that's okay.
That's good. Fine. It's our show. We do what we want. Do we want to give any love to the goalies before we move on?
Oh, hell yeah. Well, I was going to do goalies and then maybe some standings just to kind
of... Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too.
So we won't start at wins. Let's start at shutouts.
I'm actually happy you're saying this because there's one guy at the top of the list I'm kind of surprised about.
Okay.
Especially with how shitty we've said the team has been this year.
Yes. Yeah. Well, and they have been, but he's been okay. Tristan Jarry is tied with, get this, Connor Ingram. Now, okay, this is actually insane to me. Hold on a second.
Yeah.
Because even the top three, hold on. The top three goalies in shutouts are all on terrible teams. But Jarry has 6 shutouts. Connor Ingram has 6 shutouts. And Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen has 5 shutouts.
Actually, I would argue the top 4 team or goalies are on a shitty team. You also got Thatcher Demko.
It'd be funnier if you just weren't so wrong. Because they're literally tied for first in the league.
Yeah, which is as baffling as ever.
See, everyone says it's baffling, but it's like it keeps happening. So, like, I don't know.
It's baffling just based on what they were just a season ago with basically the same roster.
You could say the same about Jersey. But anyway, Thatcher Demko, 5 shutouts, and then Bobrovsky rounding out the top 5 with 4 shutouts. Save percentage, we got a different story. The leader of the league, Connor Hellebuck, .921 save percentage. He has been incredible this year for the Jets. He is a major reason why they're still in it. Although the Jets have been cooling off, I will say, their afterburners are fucking done. But then here's some names that you don't necessarily expect to see here, but hey, I'll take it. Number two, actually tied for, it's a four-way tie for second.
there's a few people in second, yeah.
With same percentage. We got Cam Talbot, Joey DeCore, Jeremy Swayman, Thatcher Demko, rounded out the top five. They're all at a 917, which are also all fantastic. Hey, look, another top of the list thing for Demko, or top five, rather. Goals against average, Bobrovsky and Hellebuck are tied with the 2.38. Solid. Georgiev. Notice Alexander Georgiev is on none of the other lists for, like, good stats other than shots against and wins. Because he hasn't been good. But Colorado has been.
And that definitely helps the people playing in front of you.
Who cares if you let in four goals if your team will score six? Right? It's the Grant Fuhr style of hockey, right?
It's the Toronto Maple Leafs style of hockey.
Not always, but sometimes. Demko second in wins because the Canucks are going to win the cup.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah, so I don't know. There's definitely some interesting names in there. Cam Talbot's having a hell of a season for the LA Kings. Actually, here, I want to do something a little different here.
Oh.
So in the sports app that I use, right now it's showing playoff picture. So if the playoffs happen today, these are the matchups.
I kind of like this. We're pretty close. Yep, I'm ready, Freddie.
This is a little preview. This is what it could be if it stays like this. So, first up in the Eastern Conference, we have Boston first in the Atlantic taking on the Tampa Bay Lightning, who are the wild card. Boston-Tampa, that's a good series. I think they're going to beat the shit out of each other.
Yeah, whoever comes out of that alive, I don't think they make it past the second round.
I don't know. It's going to be tough. Next up, we have the matchup that Leafs fans are dreading. Florida, Toronto. some of you may remember. So last year, Toronto finally got past the first round. And in fact, they were so confident that they were chanting, "We want Florida."
It was a great chant.
"We want Florida." And they lost the series 4-1 to the Panthers. They got absolutely rocked in the second round. And this year, it looks like it's going to happen in the first round because the Florida Panthers have only gotten better. And the Leafs, now, I will say the Leafs have added some grit, but I don't know.
It doesn't match the Florida's grit. Like, Florida has playoff grit.
Well, and every single player on that team will fucking go. Like,
even
every
the top scorer, like Tkachuk.
And he's probably the least likely to fight.
Well, he's not a big fighter, but he will get under your skin. He's listed as one of the most hated players in the NHL, so
tell me what's the difference between him and Brad Marchand? Score a bunch of points, piss off the shit out of your opponent. And
the main difference is Chuck won't lick other people. I do believe
you say won't, like it couldn't happen in the future.
I can't predict. He's got a lot of
career left, my guy.
I know.
With the guy late into his career, so we'll see.
He's done it twice, though.
We got lots of time, buddy. All right. Too much time on that one. Moving on.
Not enough.
We got the Rangers and the Detroit Red Wings. We talked about them earlier. If this series happens, Detroit, done.
They're out. I don't see a way that they beat the Rangers in a seven.
Even if it's the other team that's most likely to maybe take Detroit's spot, if I remember correctly, I mean, I can scroll down a little bit. I guess the Capitals are doing better. As it the used to be the Penguins.
No, the Penguins fell off. It's the Caps are in pursuit. And even then
I was going to say, even the Islanders,
they've been decent, yeah.
Decent as well, too, so.
And then the last matchup in the East, we have the Carolina Hurricanes and the Philadelphia Flyers. I mean, good for Philly for getting into the playoffs, but Carolina, they were already very good, and they added.
You don't think Torts could rally the troops? And
I don't think he's getting blood out of a stone from this one.
I don't think so either. Carolina, they've been playing on a different level this season, too. I know they're not, like, top of the league or anything like that, but they're right around that bubble, and they've been playing.
One second. We have to cut this out, but just one sec.
Mm-hmm.
He's still there?
Yep.
Did you hear any of that?
I heard mumbling of it a little bit, but
all right. Well, we're gonna have to cut it from about 57 minutes to 60 minutes, but we're back. If you're back.
Yeah, I'm back. Yep.
All right. Where were we? Did we start on the West yet?
No, nope.
Okay, well, first up, Western Conference. We got Colorado, the Dominators, versus Nashville. Now, I will say Nashville is currently on a 17-game point streak. They are like 14-0-3 or 15-0-2 or something like that. They're heating up. So it could be interesting, but I don't see the Avalanche losing that one.
No, they loaded up in the trade deadline and stuff. And
they're going for it again.
Yeah, it's not quite, well, it's not even close to a repeat or anything, but, well, it's only a few years apart, but they're definitely wanting that second cup around their belt.
Their window, right? McKinnon is playing incredibly. Makar, Rantanen, all these guys.
They're basically doing what Edmonton should have started to do a couple years ago.
Yep.
If you want my honest opinion.
Next up, we got Dallas and Winnipeg.
That would be a great series.
I think it'd be a great series. I'm leaning towards Dallas.
I thought you were going to say Winnipeg, but I actually agree with you on this one.
It's the game, the X factor here, though, is Hellebuck.
Well, it's going to be a goalie battle. I promise you that. Well, he's
better than Ottinger, and Ottinger has not played well this year. Dallas is winning in spite of Ottinger. Fair. If it comes down to goalies, Winnipeg takes it. But I don't know. Could be interesting.
This will be a long series, regardless. I think Ottinger. I think he's going to have a great playoffs, regardless of what his regular season is.
I don't think so. I think they're playing him too much.
Well, maybe they should rest him up until the playoffs happen. Then
he had a good season, and then he just cooled off in the playoffs. But this next series scares the shit out of me, because somehow the Canucks, being first in the Pacific, end up playing the second wild card spot, who just happens to be the reigning Stanley Cup champions.
Yeah. Vegas dropped hard.
Talk about fucking a punishment for a reward.
See, aren't you probably rooting for the Flames to try and creep up and somehow knock Vegas out of the last? Come on. A Canucks and Flames matchup?
Nah. I don't want you to be sad, because it would be a
sweep,
and you'd be very sad, and I don't want
that. I'm going to be sad if the Flames don't make the playoffs, so
a good friend would want me to the Canucks?
I would want to at least make the playoffs. We're going to get a shitty draft pick at this time anyways.
Okay, but I just want to clarify. So you would rather get swept by the Canucks in the first
round? Not swept. We'll win one game.
That's what I was saying, though.
Oh, I didn't hear swept.
Oh, yeah. No, sweep or miss the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a huge difference. I'll be honest.
If it's swept, no. But I don't think it would be swept.
Canucks, I love them. They're great. I worry about this matchup.
They're not playoff ready. If we're being real here, they're a great regular season team.
Hello, Toronto.
But they're not. They need a little bit more grit, playoff experience.
Yeah.
Because, you don't have to look that far. Just last year, most of these players were not that good. We're not playing at the level they're playing at now. And it's been, I'm not trying to throw shade at the Canucks right now, but it's been a while since they've been in the playoffs. A few years, anyways.
A couple years. Yeah, there's COVID.
But I don't know. For their sake, if I was a Canucks fan, I wouldn't want to verse Vegas. I mean,
yeah. So I hope they win it. I doubt they would. And last but not least, the Oilers and the Kings. And this, I see this going one way, and not well for the Kings.
Yeah, I tried. I was waiting for you to say more, but apparently that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, lots of people are saying this could be the Oilers Cup year. Everything's pointing yes, but they do have some playoff experience. What round did they get to last year? Is third? Yeah, because they beat the Flames. No, that wasn't last year. That was 2 years ago. What the hell happened last year?
I don't remember. They were in the conference final pretty recently. They did get stomped by Colorado. That was the year they won the Cup, I believe. Yeah.
What the hell happened last year?
I don't know. Vegas won. Other than that, I don't care.
LA, they do have also playoff experience with lots of their players, but they're old.
They are.
But the goaltending can be hit or miss when it comes to the Oilers as well, so.
It's true.
Fuck, we always say time will tell. But is that, I think that's about it.
Oh, thank God. I mean, what?
What? Awkward.
Hey, for you.
Yeah, I got nothing else to really say except for one thing. Now, everyone out there, take a look at both your hands. If you look at your dominant hand, your pinky will most likely have an indent. Now, everyone out there, stay stoned and stay safe.
Smartphones are killing us, starting with our pinkies. Bye.